This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's 10 minutes after 6 on this Friday morning, part 1 of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield and by Farm Credit Illinois. Now with part 1 of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. We'll take a look at your grain futures on the Chicago Board of Trade that finished mostly higher on Thursday. Corn for December was a penny and a half higher to 372¾. March corn was 1½ higher to 384. And May corn was 1½ higher to 391¾. Soybeans for November were 4¼ higher to 893. January beans were 3¾ higher to 906. March beans were 3 cents higher to 918¼. Chicago wheat for December was a penny and a half lower to 488. March wheat was down 1¼ as well to 494¼. May wheat was down 1¼ to 498¾. Soybean meal for October gained 60 cents to 292.20. December bean meal gained 70 cents to 296.10. January bean meal gained 50 cents to 297.70. Finally, soybean oil for October lost 6 cents to 29.81. December bean oil lost 3 cents to 29.97. January bean oil lost 2 cents to 30.20. Now to recap your grain futures from Thursday. Corn was up a penny and a half. Soybeans were up 3 to 4. Wheat was down 1 to 2. Soybean meal was up 50 cents to 70 cents. Soybean oil was down 2 to 6 cents. Now we'll move on and take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Thursday's cash grain report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday afternoon livestock report. Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Thursday afternoon. Technical trading drove the markets at the Board of Trade today. In northern West Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 5 cents at 322 to 368. Soybean bids were down 5 to 8 cents at 814 to 832. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 4 to 8 cents at 351 to 371. Soybean bids were steady to down a penny at 827 to 873. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 5 to 7 cents at 316 to 388. Soybean bids were mostly 2 to 4 cents higher at 813 to 853. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 4 to 6 cents higher at 851 to 880. Basis is steady to up to at 4200 to 1300 in November. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 277.20 to 295.20, up 60 cents a ton with basis unchanged at 1500 to 3 over the October. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 2 cents higher at 373 to 388, with basis steady at option to 15 over the December. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted to producer corn bids up 2 to 4 cents at 349 to 373, with basis unchanged to up 2 at 2400 to option to December. Soybeans ended up 3 to 5 cents at 842 to 847, with basis mixed at 5100 to 4600 to November. East St. Louis barge loading terminals placed their producer corn bids up 3 cents at 361 to 363. These elevators raised their soybean prices 4 to 5 cents, quotations at 857 to 861. Soft wheat closed down 2 cents at 489 to 490. Milo ended the day up 2 cents at 357 to 358. And contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 329 to 363. Soybeans at 816 to 854. And in the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 347 to 371. Soybeans at 830 to 878. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 316 to 383. Soybeans at 813 to 853. And June, July wheat at 466 to 497. And that concludes our report. David Humphreys.
Thursday's livestock futures were mixed on the Board of Trade. Live cattle for October were down 57 cents to 99.80. December live cattle were down 32 to 105.82. February live cattle gained 15 cents on Thursday to 112.52. Feeder cattle for September gained 7 to 139.75. October feeders gained 52 to 138.92. November feeders gained 95 to 137.25. Finally, lean hogs for October lost $1.52 Thursday to $61.40. December lean hogs gained 15 cents to $67.95. February lean hogs gained 22 cents to $75.05. So to recap your livestock futures from Thursday, live cattle were down 57 cents to up 15 cents. Feeder cattle were up 7 cents to 95 cents. Lean hogs were up 22 cents to down $1.52. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Thursday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday afternoon's Livestock Report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 25 cents lower in a range of $41 to $46.50, with a weighted average carcass price of $44.48. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices were weak, with light to moderate demand for heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at $15 to $19, 4 to 5 weighed at $16 to $21, 5 to 6 weighed at $18 to $24, over 600 pounds at $20 to $26. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for bears and gilts at the country buying points were firm, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $25 to $31. Receipts for Illinois bears and gilts have totaled $23,489. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a dress basis traded at $160 to $162. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 346 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $69.02, which was 91 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses were $218.17, which was 7 cents lower. Select carcasses at $192.16, which was 19 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 116,000, compared to 114,000 last week and 118,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 488,000, compared to 486,000 last week and 438,000 1 year ago. A recap of the walnut auction for Thursday, September 19th. 220 total receipts. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and slaughter heifers sold $4.50 to $4.75 higher. A light run of slaughter cows saw prices $12 lower. Slaughter bulls sold $2.25 lower. Choice steers ranged $101 to $107.75. Choice heifers $100 to $106. Breaker cows at $43 to $51. Boner cows $42 to $45. Lean cows $28 to $41. Bulls ones and twos $67 to $71. That concludes our livestock report. This is Katie Lemonager with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show on this Friday morning, brought to you by Farm Credit Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield. Part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you this morning by CHS, farmer owned with global connections, and by the CNB Bank and Trust with 19 locations to serve you. Once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy, and in Ag News for a Friday. Toxic national politics took over the normally bipartisan House Agriculture Committee during a hearing by subcommittees on Farm Bill and disaster aid implementation. Top Ag Republican Mike Conaway set off the fireworks, slamming Democratic House appropriators for unsuccessfully trying to block a spending fix to keep market facilitation payments going out to farmers. Conaway called it shameful for Democrats to try to withhold some $10 billion plus dollars in remaining Commodity Credit Corporation-funded tariff rescue payments as part of a stopgap continuing budget resolution.
Because you simply don't like President Trump. Now, this committee and the USDA do yeoman's work in trying to make sure that rural America is protected, that we eliminate the uncertainties that they live out there that we can. The way that the majority has gone away about this CR and taking the CCC funding hostage is now using those folks as a weapon. Shame on us for allowing that to happen.
Ag Democrats were on the spot. Chair Colin Peterson said this panel had nothing to do with the efforts by Democratic appropriators and succeeded in stopping it, but now found himself in a public quarrel with Ag Republicans.
This was put in place by the Republican Party in 2010. And it was put in place, this restriction, because at that time the Republicans thought that Secretary Vilsack was using the CCC to help Blanche Lincoln, who at the time was chairman of the Senate Ag Committee, in her reelection, because there was a disaster in Arkansas.
Conaway countered the earlier episode dealt with new disaster aid, the current case, with aid already approved, adding the fix is not complete. Moments later, top Senate Democrat Chuck Schumer took the Senate floor.
In this short-term CR, we require reporting on whether the funding is going to foreign sources and justification for why money went where it did.
Schumer argued that cotton farmers were receiving a higher MFP payment than soybean and other farmers. Chair of the subcommittee hearing, Representative Feilman Valea, took to Twitter following the hearing to call Conaway a racist Christian pretender. A press contact for Ag Committee Republicans called the comment illegitimate and offensive. Moving on now into livestock news. Researchers at Kansas State University say African swine fever can survive in feed grains, prompting greater concerns of the disease spreading. The research confirms the virus can survive a simulated 30-day transoceanic voyage in contaminated plant-based feed and ingredients. Detailed analysis shows the half-life of African swine fever in feed ranges from 9.6 to 14.2 days after exposure to varying temperature and humidity conditions, simulating transoceanic shipment. This means it would take approximately 2 weeks for the total viable virus concentration to decay by half of its original count during shipment. Over the last year, African swine fever has emerged on new continents and spread to historically negative countries. Surviving shipments overseas provides an opportunity for the virus to infect swine in the United States and other countries through imported feed. African swine fever is now considered endemic in China, where pork production is forecasted to fall 25% by the end of the year. The disease has also spread to several other Asian countries and recently to Western Europe. And as African swine fever continues to spread in Asia and Eastern Europe, National Pork Board Director of Swine Health Programs, Dr. Patrick Webb, says that adds to the importance of prevention and biosecurity here in the United States.
I'll tell you what, I have not seen such activity for, a state industry federal approach to making sure that we are preventing and protecting and working on our response capabilities. I'd say, based on the exercises that have been done this year that USDA's funded, that the industry's participated in, we've got another one coming up next week that we're really seeing a cooperative effort. We're really seeing, the hard conversations occurring on how we could respond potentially to a case of African swine fever here in the United States. And so, obviously, interest is high, and it's driving the conversation, and ultimately that conversation is going to lead to us being better prepared and ready just in case we were to get something.
Webb says the USDA has done a very good job since ASF was identified in China last year. A series of four exercises was organized.
And the first three exercises have been completed. So next week is what's called a functional exercise. It's a four-day exercise. The top 14 pork-producing states will be playing in the exercise. They'll play at the state level, so this is a collaborative effort between the state associations, their producers, and the state animal health officials, getting in the room with all the relevant folks and really focusing on a scenario-based response. Looking forward to it. This is an unprecedented exercise from the standpoint of the number of producers that are actually playing that are working with the state vets to allow certain things in a exercise format to occur. And so I'm really excited. You know, the first day is going to be focusing on, that initial investigation for a foreign animal disease outbreak involving African swine fever. The second day is going to look at the national stop movement and how we would control disease through stopping the movement of pigs in commerce. Third day is really looking at issues related to depopulation and disposal. And that fourth day is the all-important business continuity day. I'll tell you what, looking forward to the exercise and looking forward to the results.
Again, that was National Pork Board Director of Swine Animal Health Programs, Dr. Patrick Webb. In other livestock news, the Department of Agriculture is giving dairy producers an extra week to sign up for the Dairy Margin Coverage Program. USDA's Bill Northey told lawmakers yesterday the deadline will extend to September 27th. Northey made the comment during a House Agriculture Subcommittee on General Farm Commodities and Risk Management hearing. The Farm Service Agency later announced the deadline extension. More than 21,000 dairy farmers have signed up for the program. Authorized by the 2018 Farm Bill, the program offers protection to dairy producers when the difference between the all-milk price and the average feed cost, known as the margin, falls below a certain dollar amount selected by the producer. Margin payments have triggered for each month from January through July. Dairy producers who elect higher coverage levels could be eligible for payments for all 7 months. Under certain levels, the amount paid to dairy farmers will exceed the cost of the premium. The USDA encourages dairy producers to visit their Farm Service Agency office to learn more and enroll. Moving on into agronomy and grain news, the price of soybeans may have put in a seasonal low, but there are a lot of factors at play. University of Illinois agricultural economist Todd Hubbs explains.
What we have to remember is while we saw stronger consumption at the end of this 18-19 marketing year with WASDE showing a 20 million bushel increase in crush and 45 million bushel increase in exports, if we pull back a little bit, that huge rally we saw last week's basically due to, you know, the softening of trade negotiations with China and the announcement that they're going to roll back tariffs. But there's still a lot of uncertainty on follow-through and exactly what that's going to mean for soybean exports in 1920.
He says trade negotiations could change the outlook of prices one way or another, but adds this.
I do think the market put in a low in early September, but a poor trade negotiation outcome could see us run back down. And so I think maybe you should think about selling some beans in these kind of rallies. Or if we see rallies on South American weather issues, which could happen, I think those are opportunities to sell.
Again, that was University of Illinois agricultural economist Todd Hubbs. In other grain and agronomy news, the latest forecast from the USDA shows slight yield declines for corn and beans. Michael Clemens has this full report from Washington.
Crop predictions from the Department of Agriculture are beginning to reflect the challenging growing conditions this year, according to the American Farm Bureau Federation. However, Shelby Swain Myers, Associate Policy Advisor at the Indiana Farm Bureau, says the yield and production decline for corn in the September report was not as significant as anticipated.
Despite all the historic planting delays that we had, farmers are still able to plant over 90 million corn acres this year, and the expected 13.8 billion bushels of corn is well above of the 12 billion bushel crop that was kind of rumored in late May to early June when we were still trying to get that final push to plant.
Despite a trade standoff with China, Meyer says soybean supply and demand expectations are better than anticipated.
On the supply side, planted acreage and yield are below prior year levels, which is to be expected. But the demand side, though exports have slowed, the crushing has accelerated, and the U.S. is starting to work through that soybean surplus. With the billion bushel soybean carryout, we expect a decline about 36% below 2018 ending stock.
When it comes to predicting the crop totals for 2019, she says farmers need to be patient.
After this report, I think the theme of this year's crop season is patience. We've had to be patient to get a crop in, patient while it grows, and we'll have to be patient through harvest to allow for full maturity and to get the crops out when appropriate.
Find more analysis of the report on the Market Intel page at fb.org. Michael Clements, Washington.
Moving on now into state ag news, a Central Illinois lawmaker believes if there was buy-in from everyone, Central Illinois and agriculture could lead Illinois out of the mess it's in. Speaking at the Farm Progress Show in Decatur last month, State Senator Chapin Rose believes for that to happen, the story of agriculture has to be told better to lawmakers, specifically to those in Chicago.
We all read the papers, listen to the radio. I've sort of, for my, if nothing else than for my own mental health, I've said, look, I can't control the Chicago folks, but we've got things here that are incredible, that are amazing. And frankly, part of when you have a vacuum, you know, negative sort of seeps into that vacuum. One of the things we got to do here is create the positive momentum and energy that comes with what we have here in Central Illinois and get that story out. Right now, that story, frankly, needs to be told better. I'm enormously encouraged that Central Illinois could, frankly, lead the way out of this and for the state.
With optimism comes the realization the things the state has done this year are going to impact agriculture. Senator Rose points out the minimum wage increase is going to hit agriculture and hopes to see the law adjusted.
The folks in Chicago have got to realize that, you know, a quarter of their economy of the whole state is ag, single largest sector. And when you do things like $15 an hour minimum wage, that's going to hurt ag. The governor has got to understand that Cerro Gordo is not Chicago, and we need to have some regional differentiation in this. We just do. And frankly, the minimum wage down here was already in excess of the state minimum wage because that's what the market demanded. But if anybody thinks you're ever going to see 15, we're going to put way more people out of work than are going to get the 15. And that's a huge problem.
The Decatur-based show falls right in the heart of the senator's district and says it is a great showcase of Central Illinois and its agriculture. Moving on now into local ag news. Don't forget that today is day two of Hamel Co-op's Customer Appreciation Event. With a bit more on what's happening this weekend, we'll talk with Amy Rozier, manager of the Hamel Co-op.
Our checkerboard days, like you said, Purina is celebrating 125-year anniversary, and to be part of that, we are going to celebrate with them. We have some in-store sales those days. We're going to have some discounts on our Laena products. You can buy two bags, get one free. Our Purina mineral tubs are going to have a discount on them. Our Equine Senior and Strategy products are all going to be discounted. Buy so many bags, get one free. And then some in-store products like Leaning Tree gift cards, cookbooks, beekeeping supplies, pet toys. And we have kids' toys and gifts on sale, too. So we're excited about that. We have a few in-store drawings. Our grand prize is a iRobot Roomba, which I think every person could appreciate. They're wonderful things. We're kind of gearing up, celebrating Purina's 125th anniversary, because next year we actually celebrate our 100-year anniversary here at Hamel Co-op. So we're excited about that as well.
And also you'll have a in-store expert on some of these products that Purina has as well that I see.
Yes, on Friday, our Purina rep, David Williams, is going to be in store here, and we're going to set up appointments if anyone wants to have a one-on-one consultation. This is kind of different from whenever we go out and do our on-farm calls. Some people have busy work schedules, and they can't make on-farm calls, so we kind of do an in-store day once a year so people that have schedules can arrange something that works for them. You can stop by and see us. We're going to have, there's no purchase necessary to enter our drawings. We're going to have some other stuff like in-store gift cards and some other items that our companies that we work with have donated. So we're going to be drawing for a bunch of different things. We're going to have donuts and kind of ice in the morning and ice cream in the afternoon. So stop by, grab a cool treat or a tasty donut and see what we have to offer.
And again, that was Amy Rozier, General Manager of the Hamel Co-op in Hamel. In other events coming up this weekend, don't forget that Sunday will be the day that the Montgomery County 4-H holds their shooting sports along with archery and air rifles. That again will be held on Sunday afternoon from 1:30 until 3 at the 4-H Park in Butler. Also, today is your last chance to RSVP for the Montgomery County Soil and Water Conservation District's conservation tour that will be held next Thursday, the 26th. That will start at the U of I Extension Office in Hillsboro. Registration will begin next Thursday morning at 8:30, and the bus tour will begin at 9. Again, you need to RSVP so they can have enough food available for lunch, and you can do so by calling the Soil and Water Conservation District office at 532-3361, extension 3. And that just will about wrap it up for this Friday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have any ag news for us, you can email it to us at WSMI at WSMIradio.com. So for this Friday morning, September 20th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.